meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, for the winds have changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome. TGI. I'm going to lose my... This happens every once a week at least, doesn't it? Anyway, yes. TGIF. Hi, everybody. I'm Father Anthony, your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. We're coming to you from, well, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy here in the heart of Chicago, getting ready for the marathon. So, Jim, you can relate to that, right? You ran the marathon, didn't you?
I actually ran it twice. Why I ran it the second time, I don't know. Yeah. One should have been enough for me.
Exactly.
But no offense to marathoners.
No. I'll introduce Jim in just a moment here, but I just happened to be making a call this morning, and so I saw they were setting up for the marathon, knowing you were coming today, and I've got your book here, and I saw that you had run the marathon.
Yes.
So I thought about how long ago was that?
That was 1988 and 1989 in Chicago.
Wow, you're going way back.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. Boy, I'll tell you, we're happy to have you because it gives me another chance to boot Christina out of the away from her microphone, you know, because she's always interrupts everything. Have you noticed that? How when I talk, she just kind of.
No, I haven't.
No, I thought she was being helpful.
She is. That's right. And she is. She really is.
And just for the record, I told her that I would set off this time, and she said, "No, no, no, you stay."
Yeah, she's very humble like that. She's always thinking of other people, you know. Anyway. Next week, Nick, how are you doing today? TGIF, thank God it's Friday.
Pretty good, feeling all right and doing all right, getting ready for a good weekend as well.
Yeah,
so
good weekend.
Good feeling is in the air.
And your festivities coming up?
Yeah, so I'm getting ready for that. I got a lot to prepare for, and that's what I'm hoping for, even though I'm working the next few days, trying to get some days in to start thinking about the menu as well as other things too. My friends are helping me out with what to supply, so they're going to bring stuff, which will be great. But also, I'm trying to get my own ideas. A few, like getting pizza for everybody and like that, too. So
that sounds good.
Some of the basics and things, but it'll help.
Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. I had the Mass for the children the other day, and so we blessed, you know, all those who are celebrating their birthdays today, and we had one little girl whose birthday is Halloween.
That what's going on?
Halloween,
nice.
Yeah.
But is that what's going on? As I was driving here, they got a bunch of those bouncing gyms
arenas set up. I think they had. Did they have their walkathon today? I think they did.
Ah, all right.
Did you know? See, we're so out of touch.
It's got to be for the marathon, maybe.
I knew the walk last year. I walked with them, but these are the students from our school. But this year, there's just not the time. I haven't had the time, and so I didn't. It could be today, but I noticed when I was out making a call, I saw the munchkins. They were walking around the park. That's the little kids, preschoolers, the kindergartners, first graders. They can't make the long walk because the rest of the school goes down Division to North and then over across North to Division to Damon. Damon, and then down to East to North Avenue, North. No, I'm sorry. North.
North.
Jeez. Whatever.
North,
you know,
to North.
Anyway,
yes.
They go around the big block, you know.
Right. They don't get lost.
They don't get lost, exactly. But it's a pretty good walk. It's a nice walk.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming today was their marathon. Or their walkathon, marathon is something that's happening Sunday. Yesterday would have been a good day for it. It was so beautiful. But anyway. Well, listen, not to waste any time, but we got in the studio today, James Littleton. Very, very happy to have you here, Jim. We call you Jim, right?
Yes, yes.
Jim.
I'm very privileged to be here.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, we said we're going to let the Holy Spirit kind of lead us. But I've got your book, Healed Through Cancer and Other Adversities, and then also the, I didn't get a chance yet to see this, but Forming Faithful Families, a formational video series. I was thinking, you know, you probably should be in Rome right now at the Vatican, at the Synod on marriage and family, right, with the Pope and the bishops and the cardinals and all that.
Yeah.
You've got how many children?
We have 14 living, and we have 5 in heaven, so 19.
Wow. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Wow. Ages 28 to 8.
Wow.
When my wife was expecting number 19, our eldest was 19.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Your story is, boy, I tell you, there's a lot we can, let's just begin with your story, you know, because it's a fascinating, and by the way, Jim's going to be on, he's going to, and sometimes in my absence, he's going to host the show, so
great.
We're really happy to bring you aboard. Mm-hmm. Aboard, is that what the?
Mm-hmm.
Bring aboard.
Bring aboard, yeah.
Welcome aboard, Jim.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Next to the pumpkin man back there, you can see, you know, you never know.
The great
from one
pumpkin.
To the next, you know, so. Anyway, yours is a fascinating story, and, you know, we call this, the name of the show is The Winds of Change, you know, the landscape has changed, and you've got to feel perhaps like a bit of an oddity today in the world. Can I say that, or?
Yeah, I guess you could say that our family, our life is extraordinary in today's culture, but we would like to see it become more ordinary.
Ordinary, absolutely.
Yeah.
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 Talk, just where do you want to begin? Because you have your own conversion story, and I think maybe we can begin there, perhaps.
Sure. Huh? I mean, I think it's important to state, I grew up Catholic, raised at St. John Fisher Parish on the south side of Chicago in the Archdiocese. And but by the time I was 13 years old, I really kind of fell away from the faith and started getting into a lot of trouble, a lot of sin, drinking, brawling, cruelty, you name it, just all sorts of terrible darkness. I didn't realize it was so dark at the time, but looking back.
Are you from a big family yourself?
5 children.
5 children.
Yeah, I'm the eldest of 5.
Okay.
So we were sent to Catholic schools and... However, you know, I fell away from regular mass attendance. I would attend once in a while. I would pray to win a poker game, you know, for that purpose, that sort of thing. And so my first, I was in drinking to the extent that I'm sure I was an alcoholic. And my first saving grace was meeting my wife, Kathleen, really to settle me down a little bit. I went down to the University of Illinois at Champaign just to go to the parties there, really.
Yeah,
I didn't attend.
Sure.
And I saw my wife, Kathleen, across the room, and I told my friend Dan, I said, I'm going to marry that girl.
Really?
I mean, I had the certainty.
Wow.
I'm certain it was a movement of the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
But at that time, I had no idea what a movement of the Holy Spirit was. I just knew it, though.
Yeah.
So I went up to her, and I told her.
You told her right there?
Yeah. And she said, you know, if she had cell phones in those days, which we didn't have, she would have probably dialed 911.
Yeah.
This guy is crazy. And I had to pursue her about 2 years from time to time until she finally started to become a little interested, and then I could court her. So, you know, she actually went to law school, and she became an attorney on downtown Chicago on the fast track, already argued before the appeals court. We got married, and we're going to put off a family because, you know, we had to wait till we had all our ducks in a row.
Sure.
Tons of money in the bank. Right. We've had our fun, et cetera. Of course, that perfect time was never going to come.
Sure.
And thanks be to God, eventually, about a year and a half into our marriage, and we started out contracepting.
Sure.
So that's God's grace and power is just amazing when you think about the fact that we have 19 children now.
Yeah.
And we started out totally confused, not practicing our faith, and contracepting.
Yeah.
So this was a movement of the Holy Spirit, I'm sure. She decided to get off the pill. And we were so naive. She was so naive that she thought, I'm not going to get pregnant anyways. I won't even bother to tell Jim. So sure enough, she became pregnant, but she thought she was just gaining weight. I mean, this is... So she goes in and the doctor says, I think I have a thyroid problem. Turned out she was 5 months pregnant with our first daughter, Shannon. So after that, well, we have one child, can't just go out and do what we want when we want. I like children naturally, so we were open to having more. So we had four more. We were up to five. Still weren't practicing the faith, although we had set the contraception aside, not on moral ground, just because we were open to having sure. children. Mm-hmm. Then there was a report that the Blessed Virgin Mary was appearing, I don't know if you remember this, at Queen of Heaven Cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that.
I believe this was 1991.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
So I packed up my wife and my five very young children, and I said, let's go out there, put them in the station wagon in those days. And we drove out there hoping to see signs and wonders sure. and a miracle. And I still had some attraction to the Blessed Virgin Mary because I was raised Catholic, you know, no great devotion. So we went there, and I didn't see any miracles. But looking back, something powerful happened in my soul. I was moved by the piety of the people there sure. and their prayers, and I was just moved by God's presence and his love. It was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And somebody handed me a holy card, 15 promises of Mary to those who pray the rosary. So I took that, brought it home, put it on my dresser, and left it there for a year without touching a rosary. Sure. I kept walking by and say, one of these days I'm going to get a rosary, learn again how to pray it,
right, right.
you know, and start to pray the rosary. And one day, you know, I decided to do it about a year later and went to a Catholic bookstore and got a rosary, a little something on how to pray the rosary. I don't remember all the details. I said, well, okay, I'll just, I'm not going to overdo this thing. So I'll pray one decade, right. you know, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, in the car
right.
on the way to work. That means I have to turn the radio off for 2 minutes, right. which was really a big, big sacrifice for me. I mean, that's
sure.
where I was at. So I prayed that, decade, and I give the Blessed Mother all the credit, because from that small amount of prayer, it came a flood of graces, I think, to me and my family. Mm-hmm. And it grew to praying the rosary daily and praying the whole rosary. And I think even eventually up to 15 decades, I'm not sure how fast that happened. And one day it occurred to me, you know, I think when I was a kid, they had Mass every day because I was an altar boy. I remembered that.
Right, right.
I wonder if they have that at our current parish, St. Anthony's in Frankfurt. Of course, they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I show up for daily Mass, another powerful movement of the Holy Spirit, because I went to that Mass, you know, daily Mass. Every Mass right. is amazing.
Right.
But I didn't know it at that time. But I was flooded with such graces that I was weeping sitting there in the pew.
Wow.
Yeah, and I knew that I had to go to Mass every day now.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you at that time?
I'd say 33 years old okay. is when this started.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have that in common with St. Augustine, but I'm no St. Augustine.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
So, so I started attending Mass every day, but of course I figured I still like to drink my beer and... Well, God's going to understand that I take Saturdays off to sleep in.
Sure.
But something moved me and said, no, you know, this is the greatest thing you can do. How can you take a day off? You have to go to Mass every day. Okay. So I'm going to Mass and soaking up all the graces and meditating, contemplating. And then God told me, not in words, but it was clear, if this is the greatest thing you can do, how can you leave your children at home? So I went back to Kathleen. I said, we all have to go to Mass. Well, she wasn't ready for it yet.
Yeah.
And she spent like almost 20 years up half the night feeding babies.
Sure, sure.
But, and eventually she did, but not yet. So I said, okay, I'm going to take all the kids except for the children in diapers because I don't want to have to deal with that at Mass.
Yeah. Yeah. How many children, at that point, how many children did you
have? Five or six.
Okay, yeah.
So,
give or take.
So that, and by the way.
And by the way, and so was she, so as this is happening to you, is she on board or?
Well, she wasn't opposed in any way, but she wasn't ready for this drastic
right.
spiritual change yet.
Yeah.
But that did come. And her testimony, she started to see some improvements in me.
In you, yeah.
You know, changes in me and decided, hey, there's something to this. And I think it was like, 8 years later or something like that, she started going to Mass every day.
Yeah.
The first time she went, she never turned back. She would get out of the hospital with a new baby, and they send you home the next day.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And she'd be at Mass that morning with the baby. So her conversion was powerful, but it was in God's time. And by the way, a side point, you know, we had naturally been open to five children, but there is no way that we would have had 19.
Yeah, I mean, it seems
without the graces.
Sure.
That come. And also, a little bit of a sidetrack, I don't want to forget to mention this, though. When the Blessed Mother takes your hand, I didn't want to give her my hand. I gave her maybe my pinky finger. No, just the tip of the nail. As she grabbed a hold of the finger and then the hand and pulled me in, where does she always lead us? To the Eucharist.
To the Eucharist. Mm-hmm.
So looking back at it, you know, I started with going to the place where she was reported to be appearing, started praying the rosary, and that led to a Eucharistic life.
Yeah.
Daily Mass, frequent adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. And then, of course, I was inspired to start doing things, too, because I would go to the chapel to pray, and I'd come out with a checklist of things to do that God, you know, was inspiring me to do in pro-life work and mm-hmm. many, many different things. A lot of them seemingly small, but with, you know, infinite potential fruit and consequences. So where was I at there? Oh, yeah. So then that inspired me to learn more about my faith. The catechism at that time didn't exist. So I learned more and more about my faith. And I was wondering, like, well, why aren't they teaching this at this parish or whatever? Right. And I would challenge someone. They'd say, you know, give me an answer. And it was hard to prove, well, here's what the church's doctrine really is on this. Then the catechism came out.
Right.
And what a powerful tool.
Absolutely, yeah.
That became.
Yeah.
So then I would start reading Lives of the Saints. God just led me to probably hundreds of books. So all the glory to God. But I believe without ever attending formal classes, he's made a theologian out of me.
Yeah, really? Wow.
Just by, you know, all the information that's available to us today. Now, my wife is a theologian in that she's got a master's degree in theology.
She does.
She just graduated this past summer. You know, that was her way, and God's way was different with me. But, I mean, all the glory to God. It's amazing what he did with someone who, you know, didn't really practice the faith at all and was contracepting and now moved us to these beautiful gifts.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I want to go back and we'll touch this and then we'll take a break. But can you go back to the initial, certainly the God's grace is a mysterious thing, right? Because how is it that, but can you describe or can you put into words what, okay, you picked up the rosary and I've heard this from so many
mm-hmm.
people, you know, not going to give it too much, you know, just maybe one decade and that's enough. But can you describe a little bit more what was going on inside? I mean,
a long time ago, but it's just, looking back at it, I think it's just the natural progression of things when you look back at it as to how things evolved. I mean, at some point I had a powerful movement to go to a daily Mass.
Yeah.
And there was such a flood of graces that came into my life that I've never turned back in 23 years.
So how would you contrast that with what preceded the beginning of the rosary? In other words, what did you, okay, your wife saw changes in you, but what did you see in yourself?
I had a strong drive to learn about my faith, to live what I now describe as the Eucharistic life, to, you know, go to Mass daily, to go to the Adoration Chapel regularly. I took on hours in the middle of the night at a chapel at St. George's in Tinley Park. And to keep vigil and things like that, although I haven't continued that particular practice. So even now, I mean, I think that we're all living in a miracle of a flood of graces.
Sure,
and we only have eyes to see.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I started, you'll read a lot of it in this book, but I have a diary that is not published. And I kept track of all the amazing graces unfolding in my life over a period of about 5 years. And I think most of us could do that if we're prayerful people, if we're Eucharistic people, if we're paying attention to the graces that we're receiving. So, I mean, everything. I walked into your studio here, and all of my favorite, you know, icons and saints, and they're all up on the wall here. Our Lady of Guadalupe, who I'm consecrated to, our ministry is consecrated to. It's just God's providence is amazing. He's leading us without forcing us.
Yeah.
He's inviting us, and he's bringing tremendous good out of everything.
Yeah.
Amazingly, even out of our sins.
Sure.
Because had I not been contracepting and fallen and not attending Mass, I wouldn't be as effective of a speaker or writer on those subjects, because I would be perceived as holier than thou. But having, you know, been, I would say, worse than 99.99% of anybody I'm going to preach to, that gives me more effectiveness. So that's the just one small example of how God is bringing a great good out of everything that happens.
Jim, that's amazing. We're going to take a break, but I just wanted to say, you know, and you had to turn that radio off, you know, and that was important. You know, I think this is something important for us to hear.
But today, not this program.
No, exactly. Please.
This is a good one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I went to the novitiate, you know, this was as I was beginning my religious formation, and it was basically a monastic year insofar as we couldn't have televisions and we couldn't have radios and all that. And I always woke up in the morning to the sound of the radio and would go to bed, at, you know, with the sound of the radio. And I just thought, how am I going to do this, you know? And it didn't take long, you know. It's just like the silence is a beautiful thing. This is one of my goals this year with the students is to try to bring them to, or inspire them to love, be lovers of silence, you know? Because we've got to create, especially today more than ever, create that space.
Right.
You know? So
right.
Thank God you shut the radio off.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? There's so many noises in our lives today that we have to be on guard about.
Yeah. Yeah, so we got to come back. And with 19 children, I mean, how do you do that? So that's interesting. Wow. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We're with Jim Littleton. He's the father of 19 children, five in heaven, right?
Correct.
And you've written a couple of books, I think, right? I mean,
about four.
And he's also a cancer survivor. We got to hear a little bit about that. There's a lot. Well, you're going to be back. We're not going to be able to fit it all in today. So he's going to certainly be back. We'll come back and let Jim speak to us. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us on this Good Friday. Not the Good Friday, but a Good Friday, as City of Chicago prepares for the marathon, and we have by, should I say, by coincidence or by providence, we have a former marathon runner, would you say, I guess?
And, yeah, it was hard. I'm glad I did it. It was a very good experience.
Now, was that after your conversion, or was that before?
That would have been before.
Before, mm-hmm. Okay. All right, yeah. Gosh, Jim's a father of 19 children, he and his wife Kathleen. Paul, he just shared with us his conversion, I guess. You'd call it a reversion.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Marky, by the way, when as he was talking, Marky and Steve, who we've had on the show before as well. I always find those kind of conversions or reconversion, whatever, is they're rather fascinating, yeah. You know, because it really is, there's no doubt that it's almost a, can you say to a certain extent, almost the experience that Paul had.
You know, I'm just thinking, this is just coming to my mind again. This may have been spiritually connected, but around that same time, I was sitting in my room in our house in Frankfurt, and lightning struck just outside the wall, singed our house. And
whoa.
And I was essentially struck by lightning. I was shocked and I was stunned. And
yeah, wow.
And I think God had to knock me off my horse and flash lightning, you know, to start to get my attention. I think that lightning bolt may have been sent by heaven, because that it was going to take something big to move me.
Sure.
Know? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So I kind of want to get into your soul or into your head a little bit here with that too. I just for my sake and for the sake of others who are listening, was there some kind of unrest in the soul, or was there a searching?
I would say that there was a lot of darkness in my mind, in my soul, a lot of drinking. I don't even want to get into everything that was happening in my life. But I can tell you that if it wasn't for, number one, my wife, number two, my reversion, I'd be in jail or dead, or more likely, in jail, then dead.
Yeah, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you've had this experience, and the children start coming, lots of them, one after another.
Yeah,
a total of 19, you know. The five passed on in infancy, or?
Four were miscarriages, and one was stillborn.
Okay, all
right. Yeah, at about 4 or 5 months.
And you've got mostly daughters, right? You've got only two sons, is that right?
Right. So 12 daughters, two sons, so that makes me and my son, in common with the Blessed Virgin Mary, blessed among women.
Hey, you took the thought right out of my mind. Exactly, yeah. So how, the sons are where in the, so the oldest is 28.
Well, interesting, we had six daughters. And my wife wanted a son so bad, so she said she didn't even know what a novena was at that time, but she went into the church before the Blessed Mother statue and said, please give me a son. I'm going to pray, you know, for 9 days or whatever. And if you do, I will give him back to you for whatever you want.
Sure.
And that son came along, Shane, number 7, and he's in the seminary at St. Joseph's here
really?
In Chicago now.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah. And then we had, Patrick. There's Patrick, then Marade, Bridie, Shayla after him. So for every 7 children born alive, we got one boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
They're all, I love my daughters, though.
I wouldn't trade
them and their hugs for anything.
Actually, I saw some of the pictures of you with the family in the book, Healing Through Cancer and Other Adventures. Adversities, rather. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're so grateful to that. You know, my wife is 40. My wife is 55. I'm 56. And each morning, amongst the other children, we have a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 8-year-old come in and sit at our feet and give us hugs in our bedroom while we're having our coffee and saying our prayers. And we're wondering how many other people have that joy at our age.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. That's an encouragement to those, say, you know, the medical community will say, well, don't have any children until you're 33 and you have all sorts of money in the bank and you've had your fun, but don't have one after 35 because now you're high risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where do I fit my family in, you know? Wow. So Kathleen had our last child at age 46. So I think that's a word of encouragement to others, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. The pictures just tell a story in and of themselves in the book. You know, you can see the joy on the faces of the children, and certainly you can see the kind of your fatherhood comes through as well, you know, on some of those pictures as you're with the children and holding the baby, a newborn or a toddler or something in the book. I was really I was moved by those photos, you know. The maybe you guys have some questions as well, Geraldine or Tony or Christina, you can come in if you want, you know.
It's a fascinating story.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Jerry's a cancer survivor as well.
Right. Yeah.
He went to the University of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
And she used to drink, too,
didn't you? A lot.
Right. Well, we have some things in common. I hope we don't have too many other things like drinking and cancer and, not that sort of thing.
That's amazing. I guess you've already answered the question, but this morning as I was preparing for the show, and I was just, as I said, looking at the book, and this book is a spiritual read, to be honest. Mm. And also, there's another book, I don't have it, but it's Better by the Dozen, right?
Better by the Dozen, plus two anecdotes and a philosophy of life from a family of 16, part one, and then there's a part two.
It's amazing.
Lessons learned through loss and leukemia.
Yeah.
So it goes into a lot of the crosses that happened after the first book and how God is with us through it all, always seeing to the best in every detail of our lives.
So let me jump. I've got all these things going through my head, but let me just jump into this since you mentioned that. Right now, the church is in extraordinary synod. The Pope and bishops, the cardinals from around the world are gathered. I'm assuming it's going to just, I think maybe there's a couple more days in this synod, on addressing the question of marriage, family, sexuality, and all that. Do you have any, are you keeping kind of attuned to what's going on there?
Yes.
And do you have any comments or any thoughts?
Few. Firstly, I think we have to pray for our Holy Father. We're always asked to pray for our Holy Father. I say a special prayer for him, and I think most Catholics are called to do, all Catholics are called to do that after we receive Holy Communion, that he will be guided by the Holy Spirit, and at the same time, trust that the Holy Spirit is always going to protect the doctrine and, you know, the teaching on faith and morals. At least they're teaching. They're not always going to be accepted and lived by everyone within the church, but they'll be there and be protected. So I think we have to pray. I think we have to trust God. I think we have to keep our peace and be calm. But at the same time, I think we have to stand up for, you know, the sanctity of marriage, the sacrament of marriage, indissoluble between one man and one woman, committed to life, unto death, open to the procreation of children. And I would invite people to be, you know, even, you know, incorporate trust in God in your decision making and being open to children, opposed to all artificial means of so-called contraception, many of which are actually abortifacient, can cause a very early abortion. And I think that one of the big focuses, of course, it'd be great if I could be at the synod. Many of us feel that way.
Yeah.
But I think what we could do, one strong thing that we could do, is pay a lot more attention to pre-Cana, to marriage preparation, so that, you know, people are well formed and informed when they enter into that sacred sacrament of marriage.
You know, it's very interesting you mentioned this, and I was just speaking a couple of days ago with a gentleman who's young, was married, married at a right age. You know, I think he probably was in his late 20s when he got married, I think he's probably in his late 20s. And the marriage, it only lasted a few months, actually. And he's a very devout Catholic, and he, you know, right away once, and it was of course devastated by the whole thing. I mean, absolutely devastated. Mm-hmm. And when he began the process of annulment, mm-hmm. He received all the forms that had to be filled out, and and it's very, very extensive. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, every couple should have this, see this before they even go into marriage.
Yeah.
He said it would be do them a great service, really.
Yeah. And to make sure that the programs that are being presented are good. For example, when Kathleen and I went through pre-Cana, we were told by the priest running it that it's okay to use the pill, that the Holy Father, who was John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II, at that time, once he was gone, they would change that role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at that time, where I was at, I was thinking, well, fine, I'm going to use it anyways, whether the church teaches it or not. That's just where I was.
Sure.
I didn't have the faith, but we didn't even have the benefit, you know, of hearing the truth.
Right.
So we just have to share, you know, the truth of what the church teaches on marriage and sexuality and openness to life. And these are not burdensome things.
No.
These are beautiful gifts. These will bring joy into your marriage. One of the things that we talk about when we're talking about marriage is that if you do two things, your marriage, 99.99%, will last until death. And that is to pray together and practice your faith. You know, if you're Catholic, attend Mass and so on, but pray together as a couple and then as a family. That's number one. So putting God first in your hierarchy of values. And then the second thing is, I'm having a mind blank here, but
an openness to life?
Openness to life within your marriage.
Yeah.
So if you pray and you're open to life, thank you, then your marriage will last. But the reality is that today, many couples don't know that, and they're not doing one or sometimes even both.
Yeah, you know, about 4 years ago, my father died, and I'm one of eight. Mm-hmm. My parents had eight children, and then they've all got two or three.
Yeah.
He had a beautiful death. Everybody was there, all his children, all his grandchildren. Mm-hmm. I mean, it couldn't have been more beautiful, really. Mm-hmm. We prayed him from this life into the next, and everybody was there. Everybody was there. And I remember thinking, you know, what's it going to be like for, you know, my brothers and sisters? You know, the world has changed so much, and, you know, there isn't this, perhaps this appreciation for big families and the like. And so I just kind of there in the back of my mind, you know, I just thought about that. I thought, what a blessed event. A blessed event. Mm-hmm. His death was very blessed. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, I was visiting the family, and my sister said, you know, she said, I ever since Dad died, she said, I've thought, you know, I wish I would have had more children, you know. It's just something, you know, there's just something about that
right.
community or that communion of persons, you know. Interesting, very interesting.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll see where we're going to go. But I'd like to ask you something else about this synod. And then maybe, although I think you've already answered the question, but I'd still like to hear about this, you know, how you keep the family together and how the family prays.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So. All right, everybody, we're with James Littleton, the father of 19 children. He and his wife, Kathleen, and a cancer survivor as well. We'll hopefully get a chance for you to talk a little bit about that. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Hello, you silly elves.
Hello, Santa.
Listen, elves. St. Stanislaus Koska is having its annual Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair.
This sounds like fun.
And elves, I'm going to need your help to get ready.
We're happy to help. Santa, when is the Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair?
Well, Elfie, St. Stan's Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair takes place Sunday, November 2nd from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Santa, is there going to be food?
You silly elf.
Yes.
Yay.
Here, elves, read the menu.
Ooh, most acholi, excellent. Turkey and ham sandwiches.
Hot dogs.
Flautas.
Tamales.
Corn.
And so, so much more.
Is there going to be a raffle?
Ho, ho, ho. Yes, with prizes from $50 to $1,500. Ho, 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 ho. And the drawing is at 4.
Come join us for an afternoon of fun and games with tabs, sale items, bake sale, and so much more. And Santa will be there, too.
Ho, ho, ho.
St. Stan's Christmas Bazaar Craft and Vendor Fair, Sunday, November 2nd, from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago, one block north of Division Street. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Watch out. He is showing us his flesh. I am Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for Tabor Life Institute. God has taken on our flesh, and during the Feast of the Epiphany, God shows his flesh to the world. In the Western Lung of the Church, God is showing this to the wise men. The Eastern Lung, having just celebrated the circumcision of Christ's flesh, now speaks of Christ's naked flesh during his baptism in the Jordan River. In the East, Epiphany is also called Theophany. So why all this flesh? Because the flesh of Jesus Christ reveals his divinity and the truth about being human. This is the theology of the body. Christ's birth, epiphany, and baptism in the flesh has renewed all creation. And if this is real to us, how do we now see all of creation, especially human body persons? To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We're here today with James Littleton. James, what's your middle name?
Michael,
that's my brother's name,
yeah.
James Michael. How about that? But anyway, he's the father of 19 children, a cancer survivor. I tell you, we were just yesterday on the show. It was interesting because I left the studio, and as I do sometimes, I'll listen to Spanish radio because I wasn't listening to this station. I was listening to more of a political station, and this is while I'm kind of eating, But anyway, so I was listening, and in the show yesterday, I mentioned we were talking about what, but somewhere within the hour, I mentioned about this redefinition. Well, I was saying how the pop culture is kind of moving the society, has been moving the society for a long time, and that who would have thought that here we are today. At this point in our history where, in a rather flippant way, we think we can redefine marriage. And I said a few things about that. And then afterwards, I was listening to this other program for a little while, and they were dealing with the same topic, the redefinition of marriage, but certainly from another perspective. In other words, it's the church... The Christianity needs to, it's amazing they didn't mention Islam, but they mentioned Christianity needs to kind of get specifying in a very specific way the Catholic Church and the discrimination, of course, of same-sex couples and not honoring their marriage or their love and all this kind of stuff. And I was sitting there listening, and I thought, you know, and people were calling in. They were just calling in. Call after call, saying, you know, yes, you know, the Pope and Jesus said you've got to love everybody, and I said, okay, no brainer, right? We love her, and it just went on and on and on, and as again, just to kind of reemphasize this kind of bigotry or this kind of hatefulness on the part of the church for not allowing or not accepting or not canonizing or blessing these unions. And this morning I was listening to a cardinal. Who was speaking from the Vatican? It was through Vatican Radio. Just I caught a little bit of the talk, and of course, you know, we don't want to take one man's words out of context, nor do we want to assume that the whole synod is reflective of what he's thinking. But it's almost as if we've got to make ourselves. Credible. We've got to befriend the world. We've got to we have to understand, you know, that Jesus loves all of them. And it's, of course, he loved. But I felt it was so like we're going back. I use the word kumbaya, you know, let's all hold hands and let's wave back and just no judgment. Everybody just kind of do what you want to do. And I know that's not because the church, she can't change the doctrine, and the Pope hasn't the authority to change. But the media certainly is trying. I mean, the world is looking and waiting and hoping that there's going to be these drastic changes. Even in regards to contraception, what's interesting now is at the end of the synod, is the Pope going to beatify or canonize Pope Paul VI?
I think I heard beatify.
Beatification. He's not beatified, so he's going to be beatified. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
He wrote Humanae Vitae.
Humanae Vitae, right? Yeah. So, Jim, I want to just come back to you on that. If you were not just a fly on the wall, but let's say you had a voice at the synod, all of a sudden they get the word that, you know, hey, there's a man in Chicago mm-hmm. who's got 19 children, and let's get him over here and just, you know, see what he has to say about, yep. What would you say?
Well, we have to hold to all the truths of and the doctrines of what the church has always taught on marriage, as I already commented on in the earlier segment, and openness to life is so essential. I mean, even just the societal consequences are terrible. You know, when you don't follow God's divine law, you don't even follow the natural law, what happens? People aren't having children. Look at Western Europe. I mean, some countries, 1.1 children on average. Right. Russia's population is fading away because of abortion. Western Europe's so-called Christian population is fading away because they're not having children. Japan is in drastic trouble because they've not been having children.
In fact,
children.
In Japan, I was just reading a couple of months ago that diapers, the most diapers sold are diapers for adults.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, for the old people.
Yeah. And but look at our, Muslim brothers and sisters, they are having
family,
very large families.
Yeah.
But we also have to realize that, and Archbishop Sheen talked about this back in the 1970s, we're no longer living in Christendom.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
You know, the culture is not Christian any longer. The cult, and has not been for decades. It's hostile to Christianity. But we have to let our light shine. Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen would get standing ovations mm-hmm. at secular universities when he spoke about marriage and openness life and all these things. Why? Because he did not water down the truth. He stood up and gave them the fullness of truth and let the light shine in the darkness. And whether people agree with it or not, they said, you know, this is really something. And he says, we don't go down to where they're at.
Right, right.
We lift them up to Christ. So, let's talk in a positive sense about all the beautiful blessings of a child. What is a child? Unrepeatable, unique person made in God's image and likeness with an irreplaceable mission for the good of the world, good of society, his brothers and sisters, also to give glory and honor to God in perfect happiness for all eternity. That's what we're talking about, and whether we're going to be open to sharing in the procreative power of God. God chooses to limit his, I would say, divine ache to pour out new life, more souls to the world. He chooses to depend on our free will, our choice to decide, yes, I will trust in you, Lord. And yes, I will have another child. And yes, I don't have to use artificial contraception, which, by the way, has a whole stream of negative consequences, like increased, breast cancer and so on and so forth, and just really throwing off the normal health. Why would we medicate? See, I'm getting on a tangent now, but why do we have to give medication mm-hmm. to a healthy person to inhibit the natural health of that body. Hmm. So, I could go on and on. I have written books. Series about this.
I tell you, we'll take a final break when you come back. Talk about your own experience. You've got 14 children. Yeah. the experience you have within the family, what joys this has brought to you and to your wife and one to another, maybe some of the heartaches or some of the headaches, maybe how do people respond in the society? Because in this sense, you're a bit of an oddity because that's a big family. That's a huge family.
Yeah.
The old Latin Americans, you know, I because I've been working with a Latino community, Hispanic community for so many years, that's not uncommon, you know, in years past. You know, many of our people are from families of 15, 16, 17. Mm-hmm. One of the Father Luis, who we have a program that comes on after our our program. I don't know if he's actually on El Sembrador, but he's one of what, 20-some? 23. Ooh. He's got 23 brothers and sisters. Can you imagine? So we'll take a final break, come back, and let you just talk about your family. Okay. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support on Winds of Change and AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. Boy, I tell you, this is our. We need 3 hours today, actually, but we've only got, unfortunately, an hour. But Jim Littleton will be back. But I want to, and sooner than later, Jim. Okay, so talk about your family, the joys. What's it been like to be the father of so many children? You and your wife.
Yeah, well, we've been raising our children now for roughly 30 years, and we have about another 10 to go before the youngest is in college. So it's quite. But I certainly it can be challenging at times. But you know, sometimes people wonder about the finances. For the most part, we live day by day, you could say. I have a small business. Sometimes it does terrible, sometimes a little better. We actually went through a home foreclosure one day from being on the street, homeless in 2007. Mm-hmm. Miraculously, God sent a gift, and we were able to rent the house, the house that we're in right now, which we don't own, but it's the perfect house for us.
How many bedrooms, can I ask?
That's four bedrooms. Okay, but, you know, most of my younger kids have always wanted to sleep mostly in the same room anyways.
Yeah.
You know, they want to be together. So it's no problem whatsoever. And, of course, my wife and I have our bathroom, and they have their bathrooms. So I admit to that selfishness. But they do fine. They do fine with that. We've also been challenged quite often on the size of our family, as you can imagine. Doesn't bother me one bit. I can honestly say it does trouble my wife, Kathleen, at times. And one of the most challenging things is when only our own family members have challenged that. Out of genuine concern, maybe for finances, Kathleen's help, things like that. But I would often or at times I would say, okay, where should we have stopped? You know, because it's up with the kids just kept coming. Sure. You know, and eventually we had 14 living. So where exactly should we have stopped?
Interesting.
And no one has ever answered that question.
It's interesting.
Because if they said, well, you should have stopped with six, said Bridget. Okay, here's their picture, or here they are lined up and running around and playing over here.
It's amazing.
All of those other children would not exist. These
enough said,
masterpieces that God has thought of and will think of for all eternity, and all the joy and all the good that they're doing. I think sometimes we go with blinders. We don't recognize what is important in life. We don't, you know.
Isn't that what's happened to the society today? I mean, it just seems like we've lost our ability to reason, logic.
Something happened to me, I guess it was a couple years ago, but I watched my daughter, Shayla, I think she was maybe six at the time. She reached up and scratched an itch on her neck. And I had a moment of, you could say, of contemplation, all by the grace of God. But I saw God's face in that when she scratched her itch, something as minor as that is, that was Jesus scratching his itch. And Jesus is interested in every single detail of our lives. I saw that this daughter of mine is Jesus. She is Christ. Now, I wish I could say I'm always, you know, that way, you know, with my children. Sometimes I'm impatient with them, you know, or angry with them. But, you know, I had that moment. So I think this culture, there's so much interfering and overwhelming our minds and our souls and all this noise and information. And we can't stop and just see the truth, what really has a value. And so when we are like your father, you know, facing eternity, are we going to care about how much money we had or all the things that we owned and so on? What can we take with us?
Right.
To be surrounded by our family, there's our treasures, and we should live as if they are our treasures. My treasures are God, my wife Kathleen next, then my children.
Yeah.
Everything else comes after that. Now, I have to challenge myself to keep living like that on a constant basis, but that's my hierarchy of values.
Yeah, and you know, we've just got about a little less than a minute, but as you're looking, because we have to think always, we have to look into eternity, right? Because it's you're watching this family grow. Mm-hmm. You're getting older as well. You're still young, but it's for a greater purpose, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To be about the work of life, but eventually, at the end of all things, the beatific vision in the company of the family, the ancestors, the communion of saints, you know?
We have to create a Catholic culture in our families. You know, our life has to be a Catholic culture where we love the church. We do things like we have a feast. Hey, that means we're going to have your Saint feast day. Hey, that means we're going to have lots of ice cream and candy tonight, on top besides going to church, you know?
Yeah.
And I take my children to daily mass, and when I do, I put my arms around them, and I whisper how much I love them, you know, and things like that. So I think when they get older, it's going to be,
natural.
Dad, I want to be here. I feel loved by God. My daughter, out of time.
Wow, Jim, you know, you'll be back. Thank you so much for being with us. This is Jim Littleton, and, well, I'll tell you, God bless you and your family, and boy, we need you. And you'll be back. Everybody, he'll be back sooner than later. Thanks for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Amen.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time.